It is great to have you with us today here at the Covenant Grace Prayer Line, and we are going to be studying from the book of Ecclesiastes again, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. I'm going to be reading again from the Common English Bible, and we are going to be talking about the pointlessness of life, but. The pointlessness of life, but. As we put God into the equation. Okay? Let me give you a definition of pointlessness, which is found in verse 14 of our study today. Pointless, or pointlessness, comes from the Hebrew word hebel, is a key term in Ecclesiastes. Though its precise meaning is uncertain, elsewhere in the Old Testament, hebel can refer to something that is here one minute and gone the next, like a puff of air. Note that hebel is Abel's name in Genesis 4. The term can also be used of idols, the worship of which is worthless, Deuteronomy 32:21. In Ecclesiastes, the term is complex because its meaning changes according to the way it is used. The word occurs 37 times in the Hebrew text. It captures the momentary nature of life, and it refers to the frustrating, unpredictable, and unpleasant aspects of life. The term is used in close proximity or combination with other phrases in Ecclesiastes, such as Ecclesiastes 1:3, which indicates that there's no gain in work, that work has no ultimate significance, that work is pointless. The term also appears with the theme of wind chasing in Ecclesiastes 1:14. Another pointless endeavor, suggesting that hebel also concerns things that are elusive or baffling. Elusive or baffling. Verse 12, I am the teacher. I was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to investigate and to explore by wisdom all that happens under heaven. Now, there's no man on earth better equipped at that point and today, could be stated the same, as could be and would be Solomon. Continuing, it's an unhappy obsession that God has given to human beings. When I observed all that happens under the sun, I realized that everything is pointless, a chasing after wind. What's crooked can't be straightened. What isn't there can't be counted. I said to myself, look here, look here. I have grown much wisdom, more than any other who ruled over Jerusalem before me. My mind has absorbed great wisdom and knowledge. But when I set my mind to understanding wisdom, and also to understand madness and folly, I realized that this too was just wind chasing. I want you to write on a piece of paper, if you have one available or near you, or do this later, some scales that I want you to consider. Numbering 1 through 10, some prioritizing, if you will, okay? And ask yourself, how important are these areas of life in the way you're living presently? You're living presently, okay? From a scale of 1 to 10, with 10, of course, being much, 5 being some or 1 little, 10 meaning much, 5 some or 1 little, family. Okay, the second one, friendships. Third, faith. Fourth, finances. And then finally, health. How important are these? And how do they play on the scale of history and of eternity as well? These all have different levels of importance to each and every one of us. But each one are so vital and important and are aspects of our life that we have to deal with every single day. And it is with that in mind, we have to consider living out our lives. But we need to do so as the wisdom of God, because the world's priorities are many times in contradiction to God's. Family is extremely important in the world. It's also very important to God. Friendships as well. Faith, maybe not so with the world. Finances, different perspectives on finances, but they're important. We Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom. We have the understanding that in giving we are blessed, or in sharing, while the world wants to retain and just hoard. And then health. Okay? Health is something very important to the world, but sometimes we look at it a little bit differently as we recognize the fact that God is our healer. After his opening statement about the meaningless of life without God, the teacher told of his own personal experiences. He explained how he had tried to find meaning in various ways, through wisdom, pleasure, work, success, and wealth. He found, however, that none of these in themselves brought meaning to his life. As the king of Israel, he devoted himself to search out, by wisdom, all that is done under heaven. As a result of his study, he discovered two things. First, he learned that God had placed a heavy burden on the human race. He felt as though God had placed a heavy burden on the human race. What was this heavy burden? Some have suggested that he was referring to the higher intelligence or awareness of God that was given to human beings, intelligence that distinguishes us from animals. Because we were created in the image of God, people realize that there must be more to life than simple, mere physical survival and existence. We can sense that there must be meaning for our lives, that there must be an ideal to strive for. And this is our heavy burden. God is in the equation. We are at one with God. We are created in his image. God has given us the heavy burden of our conscience. And this is what keeps us striving to find meaning, to discover our ways that might be best and that which would find itself glorifying God ultimately. And people in this world that become totally negatory and have lost out on any type of spirit of godliness find themselves seeing this consciousness terminated, thus just about, or in essence, numbed. But those who serve the Lord or try to live life honestly in this world have their conscience there as that part of godliness that says, hey, listen, there's something more to life than this. This is the direction. And when we try to go in a course otherwise than is godly, we find ourselves fighting within ourselves. The second thing Solomon discovered was that all the toil and activity that people devoted themselves to were meaningless, chasing about after the wind, verse 14, pointless. All earthbound goals, no matter what effort we extend to or expend to attain them, end up being like the wind, something we can chase but never catch, never touch, always out there, never quite satisfying. Have you ever noticed that about so many things in the world? They can be temporarily satisfying, but never really satisfying and giving you that definite sense of perfection. But when I go to the house of God, and when I worship with God's people, and when I take communion, and when I worship in the Spirit, and when I consider the things of God, his word, there is more than just a temporary sense or presence that I am thankful for. I get something out of it. A part of me is fed. I'm strengthened of God. I feel a joy. I have not wasted my time. I go forth in the joy of the Lord. There's meaning to it. It is interesting that the teacher uses the phrase under the sun in verse 14, whereas he used the phrase under heaven in verse 13. Under the sun is used 29 times in Ecclesiastes and nowhere else in the scripture. Nowhere else in the scripture. Under heaven occurs 3 times in Ecclesiastes and 12 times throughout the rest of the Bible. 2 meanings have been promoted or proposed for experiences done under the heaven and under the sun. One is life without reference or allegiance to God or his divine revelation. The other is life here on this earth. The teacher went on to summarize, as in a proverb, what happened when he set out to conquer knowledge and wisdom on his own. He was unable to explain the profound things of life in neat little categories. That is, he couldn't straighten it out. Life seemed so twisted, verse 15. And just when he thought he had considered everything important, something else came up, came along to make him realize people lack ultimate meaning. So what was the teacher's conclusion about pursuing wisdom? He noted that even though he had increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem, verse 16, and though he had diligently applied himself to the understanding of wisdom and folly, such pursuits were like chasing after the wind. So elusive. Verse 17. Solomon realized that no one can break through to meaning and truth by reason alone. Reason alone can't fathom the depths of creation or understand the beauty of the universe or the grace of God in us. Even to attempt to do so brings much sorrow. Efforts to place knowledge as the supreme end of life without the love of a caring God simply brings us more heartache and headache. Ask yourself, in what ways might I place too much confidence in human knowledge and wisdom? In what ways might you place too much confidence in human knowledge and wisdom? Tell me, what do you think it is? And consider the fact that God has ultimate knowledge and understanding, and that he can give you understanding. As the Holy Spirit says, it can come and be a teacher in our hearts and lives, and to reveal things to us. Isn't it great to get knowledge and get it from God? Trying to ascertain and grab things in life and try to make sense of it all without God and what he sees as the big picture is missing out on life's meaningless and does give us a sense of pointlessness, as Solomon spoke of. But nothing is pointless, and God is the big but. Because when we get the chance to consider Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we begin to see through the prism of God's understanding. And we see things clearly, and we understand that there is a way, walk ye in it. And if we do, and we walk by God's divine mandates, we see life. We see hope. We see love. We see kindness. We see joy. We see peace. Can you get the picture? God wants to write out things in the beauty of the canvas of your heart and life in such a way that people see and explore God as you live out your life, if you'll give him the opportunity. He wants to make you into a masterpiece and share with you the beauty of God's creation and his love in a very intimate and personal way. Life in and of itself and going after just the wisdom and knowledge of this world is not going to be satisfactory, and it always leaves you in a place of wondering. But there's hope and satisfaction in the heart of God. I had a gentleman the other day. I was discussing some things and thanking him for his chess knowledge and what I learned from him through many of the games he's played. And he's a great chess master. But he tweeted me back something when I found out about his family, and I said, I'm going to be praying for you and this situation. He said, oh, forget your prayers. There's no one there, so don't worry about prayer. Just forget that. It's meaningless. And then, he mocked somebody on another occasion who had thanked God for, the Lord helping him when he was playing a chess match at a tournament. Something has happened in his life where faith has been snubbed out, where God has been snubbed out, where he feels like Mr. Dawkins has written that there can be no God or there is no God. But that's because something has transpired within the heart or in the human vacuum of things that has not filled that void and gave understanding. I've had too many instances in life, too many things I've read or seen or done or experienced that let me know that it can't be happenstantial what occurred, and that God's angels or he is at work in my life. Amen. I can't explain it any other way. You can explain it. And in various parts of your life, maybe you have seen that but have not become aware of that. But God can show you. And there's something about the love of God and the things of the Holy Spirit I found in fellowship with God's people that has been so illuminating and exciting that I cannot believe. There are excesses, mistakes, and things in the body of Christ, and people that have gone on to conclusions of things that have given Christianity a bad name, that make people say, hey, I wish I didn't know anything about God or Christianity, if that's what it's all about. But if we walk in the Word and we honor God in true principles of righteousness and are serving God out of moderation and not extremism, God begins to paint a picture of opportunity and hope for the world. And we can be a beacon, a lighthouse in this world. It can help people to not crash on the shores of despair and have hope and reach God's ultimate destination in their lives. Through faith and love, let us share that, the love of Christ, the meaning and the word to those that we come in contact to, and let them know that He is real to us today. One time, this is many years ago, my wife and I were driving down a road, and we were coming over a hill, and this truck, I don't know why, was passing around a car and coming straight for us. I stupidly just let go of the wheel. Okay? I just figured, hey, this is it. We were on our way to church, by the way. Just to let you know, we were going to a Bible study group that we were a part of in Somersville, Connecticut. And Pastor Eugene Young was the pastor of the church. And we should have been goners. But this is what happened. I let go of the wheel. My wife is in shock. And this truck, I don't know how, but we were driven around the truck. The truck missed and we went way over the shoulder. And the car then went back on the road. And the car was still going. And my hands were still not on the wheel. My hands were not on the wheel for another 500 yards as we looked in amazement. Now, I want you to know that was either an angel or was God Himself ministering to help it. But that I can't explain. And you can't tell me things in this life can explain that. And there's other things similar to that, not as audacious almost as that, but have happened in my life that have given me hope. And at the perfect time, God ministered, or somebody's led of the Spirit to give a certain gift to me, or et cetera. God is great. God is merciful. He is hope. And He's given me hope. And He gives me meaning in life. And I hope He can give it to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that life is not pointless. That those who have become discouraged, those who have not seen God, or those who have had bad experiences and just truly believe that there is no God, help me, O Lord, somehow to plant a seed, to pray and intercede, and see that person come to hope, come to life in Christ through the mercies of God. And I pray, Lord, that You today would help me when I become discouraged, when I might wonder about life and its meaning, or God, you know, if this is where it's at, or this is the end of it, Lord, what good was it? Help me, Lord, to be able to see through Your eyes, to get clarity in everyday living, and allow the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to minister to me today. Bless someone out there right now, God, who needs the touch of Your Holy Spirit, who needs encouragement, and is wondering, hey, they've come into a crisis situation. They are at a weak place in their life. They're going through a wilderness struggle. But God, show them that You're there, that You love them. And I pray, God, that You'd minister today. And thank You for Your word. And I thank You, Lord, that You are the butt in the equation of my life. That yes, in so many ways, there is no hope. But with my God, all things are possible through Him who I trust. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a great day in Jesus. Till next time on the Prayer Line.